Paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Beautiful spring morning we're having.
Oh, gosh.
You know, it's supposed to snow tonight. Yeah, snow flurries.
This is absolutely the worst spring we've had some bad ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. But, you know, it's supposed to snow tonight. It's supposed to be 80 by Friday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
finally.
Come Friday.
Well, 80 or 90, you know, it's winter, summer.
Yeah, there is no in-between anymore.
And construction season,
of course.
We still have construction season on Route 20 there at that damn bridge.
Yeah.
All God, is that year, irritating. How long is that going to take them?
They say till November.
You've got to be kidding me.
Nope, they're saying until November, all summer long, through the fall into November.
Oh.
Yeah. The Bears will be 8-0 before that's over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Mike, come down to reality.
Well, construction for two straight years on that bridge, and I'm not even sure that's going to be
No, I'm talking about the Bears.
Oh, the Bears. You're back with the Bears.
8-0.
Why not 8-0?
Well, for one thing, they don't have a legitimate wide receiver.
Yeah, but we've got the quarterback, though.
Yeah, but before you have a quarterback, you need an offensive line. What are you going to do about the aging defense and our esteemed middle linebacker?
Ken, what about
who's
those
over
years,
the hill?
What about those years you spent in here talking to me about the Bears? We just need a quarterback. If we just had a quarterback.
That's when they had Berrien.
Now we got nothing but a quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's an
man.
Aging defense. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't
you're
know.
Right
I
about could, that.
We'll talk about the Bears
when it comes to Bears season.
All right. We should talk about the Bulls.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk about the Bulls.
Rose, man, 36 points.
Yeah.
They beat Boston in overtime. Of course, they didn't have their star.
Well, it doesn't matter if they had their star or not. We beat them. That's what matters.
Yoki Noah had like 16 rebounds something like that.
Yeah. Bulls are looking good for now.
It could be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
I think they have the talent. They just haven't gelled.
Yeah, yeah.
And if maybe now's the time. Maybe postseason, Rose is just figuring he's just going to completely take charge.
I would hope so.
So, that should be fun. Okay, on to more serious stuff. Stupid regulation of the week, just a quickie. Not a surprise, there's a case going to the Supreme Court where a 12-year-old girl was strip-searched by a vice principal at a public school because he accused her of hiding, I think it was ibuprofen, in her underwear.
Really?
And so the case is whether or not, how far school officials can go searching for drugs and such like that.
They
and
can't go that far.
That evil drug, ibuprofen.
They can't go that far. No, sir, they cannot go that far.
You as a father would have something else to say about that?
Yeah. I mean, even if it was one of the worst drugs out there, you're not going to strip search my daughter. You're not going to strip search a little girl. You're not going to do it.
It really is outrageous.
You're not going to do it. I don't care what she has. You're not going to do it. You call the authorities. You call someone who...
She didn't go to school for months. She was so embarrassed and hurt and...
Oh, man. Sounds like a lawsuit to me.
Well, it does to me, too. Of course, these government officials seem to be somewhat immune to lawsuits, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. All right. Well, I'm going to like to report on the Tea Party.
Yeah, good.
Last Wednesday. But it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you what. I have been fighting government and organizing protests, tax protests and such, for years and years, ever since like 1980. So I remember a protest I organized, I think. It was in 1980, and it was at the Federal Building, where we called it the Second American Revolution. And we had speakers come in attendance, which included Thomas Paine, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, King George. I believe George Washington was there. all in full garb, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, organizing, I expected and hoped for like 2,000 people, and we had about 125. We still got a little bit of press coverage, but it never came to the fruition that I would have hoped over all these years. And Wednesday was like a dream come true. Finally, I finally saw a popular movement developing. What I told one friend, it's like there's this libertarian sentiment that has been in a tinderbox smoldering, and the Tea Party ignited it. Now, I know there are some old-time activists out there who are saying, well, and a lot of liberals and Democrats are saying this too, because they have to say it. Those, not the old-time activists, but the liberals and Democrats have to say it, that this was just a right-wing induced, Fox News promoted, shills for the corporation, astroturfing thing, which is absolute nonsense.
That's what I thought it was.
This was, if anything was from the grassroots, this was from the grassroots, and all you had to do was look at all the signs. 99% of the signs were homemade, and there were some great, great signs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of my favorites was my friend Scott had a sign that said, "The Republicans suck too." and it came in handy at the appropriate time, because if those of you who have seen that CNN interviewist, actually started arguing with protesters and say, "Your state's getting $50 million, blah blah blah." She was way out of line, and she was just almost attacking these protesters, not being a reporter at all.
Uh huh.
And implying that this was just a Republican Fox News induced blah blah blah. And this other woman pointed out to her, said, "Look at that sign. No, this is nonpartisan.
Right, right.
Republicans suck too." And this video on YouTube has gone viral.
Oh, good, good.
So people throughout the country have seen that this is not partisan at all. And in fact, there's another one that's going viral is one from South Carolina, where some local congressman had the nads to show up and speak.
Really?
When he voted for the bailout. He went on for 5 or 10 minutes, and all he heard was, "Boo! Get off the stage! Go home!"
Right? He should never have shown up.
Couldn't believe it. What a moron. In a typical political politician fashion, it was like he didn't hear any of it. He just stayed to his script. You know, he came there and said, "Thank you very much." You know, everybody's booing him. And it's really hilarious. Got to check that out.
I will.
South Carolina... Just I don't search South Carolina Tea Party. Okay. I think you'll find it. it's really funny, but no, this was really a grassroots effort. Even though, yes, Fox News and some idiot Republicans did try to usurp it and take it over and use it. Newt Gingrich was one, and of course we have Glenn Beck, and Sean Hannity. And maybe in those instances, they did somewhat take it over, but not in Chicago. As a matter of fact, the head of the chairman of the Republican Party, Michael Steele, was in Chicago and asked to speak at the Tea Party, and the organizers, to their credit, refused to let him speak. So this was not a Republican thing. Now, some are saying, well, I'll tell you what, folks, some are saying that this is just real mild-mannered and not much of a protest and just typical of what Republicans would do. I'll tell you what, if you look at the signs that were there, almost all of them were pretty darn radical libertarian-type signs. And yes, I know the Republicans, they sound libertarian when they're out of power, and that there's that to talk about. But I was really inspired that this is really Ron Paul really got this thing started. But this thing is really going to grow. I'm convinced it's really going to grow. And it could be the Obama administration's worst nightmare, which is why his surrogates are speaking out, calling it right-wing and shills of the corporate elite and blah, blah, blah. One was Congressman Jan Schakowsky from the North Shore. said this, and so I have come up with an open letter to Congresswoman Schakowsky,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming is going to be probably published in one of these local newspapers. I think they usually do publish my stuff.
Okay.
So I already sent it to them, and I have to send it actually to her today. I haven't got it to her yet, but here's my open letter to Congresswoman Schakowsky. Dear Ms. Schakowsky, I have always had great respect for you, as I perceived you a true liberal who wasn't swayed by politics or political contributions, but stuck to your own philosophical framework as a liberal. As a left-leaning libertarian, I have found myself in great agreement with you on personal rights issues and foreign policy, even as I have diametric opposite views to you on economics. The Tea Parties in which I participated are the quintessential exercise in the right of free speech guaranteed by the First Amendment, heretofore honored and celebrated by the left and liberals like yourself. So it is with extreme regret that I see your reaction vilifying the Tea Parties. Why did I protest? The continued out-of-control spending by Congress and presidents past and current is bringing our economy to the brink of destruction. Bush's trillion-dollar war was a waste of human and financial capital and crowded out the lending markets. And now the stimulus package is doing the same, only by multiple factors. As one who dislikes the overreaching power of corporations in this country and their partnership with government that has kept the little guy and small business down, I was appalled by the act of government bailing out these hat-in-hand corporate thieves who have had a big role in driving our economy down. The sign I carried at the Tea Party was, billions for the bankers, for the taxpayer, the shaft. This was a position I would think all good liberals and people on the left would agree with, indeed would want their message heard at a protest. I have heard many people on the left blame the lack of regulation under unfettered capitalism as the cause of our current financial crisis. But what those on the left don't understand is that it is the very possibility of failure that is the self-regulatory mechanism that makes participants in the free market accountable on the one side and flourish on the other. Bailing them out has taken away that very necessary and essential regulation that the free market provides. The trillion-dollar bailout and spending packages are going to overburden everyone, especially the poor and underclass. It can be financed in only three ways. Higher taxes, printing money, the most destructive taxes to the underclass and disenfranchised, i.e. inflation, and borrowing, which will burden our children and grandchildren with a huge debt that will have to be paid with confiscatory taxation. Our children and grandchildren will be saddled with this taxation with no voice, no representation on its passage. Taxation without representation, which is why the framers carried out the first Tea Party and ultimately a revolution seceding from King George. So one might say that we are doing it for the children. To call what I and a million others did despicable is for you unconscionable. I was protesting not for the corporate interest, but against them, and I am not right-wing. I can only conclude that you are either totally ignorant of the motivations of the Tea Party protests, you have sold out to the corporate interests, or you are just totally disingenuous in your playing of party politics. That makes you, in my mind, as despicable a hack as Newt Gingrich. So, that's that, and it'll be sent to Ms. Schakowsky today, and we'll see what happens. We're going to have a guest today. He's Adam, if I got this pronounced right, Andrzejewski? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not even close. Adam Andrzejewski, a Republican candidate for governor, and this will be interesting, so stay tuned. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Tired of the status quo? Do you feel out of touch with the people who claim to be serving you in office? Well, so are we, and we plan on doing something about it. We are the Fox Valley Freedom Coalition, a nonpartisan group of citizens who believe we, the people, still mean something. When we, the people, get informed, active, and involved, we begin the restoration of accountability in government to the people under constitutional principles and true liberty to the individual. If you want to do something to change the status quo, then join us at our monthly meeting in Empty Barrels, 98 West Main Street, which is Route 72, just west of the Fox River in West Dundee, on the first Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. For more information, call Jared at 224-402-8148. That's 224-402-8148.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now, Adam Jieski. How you doing, Adam?
Great. Happy to be on. You did actually very, very well with the last name, Kenneth. I think when you have the last name of Jieski, you've got to be fairly flexible with these things.
I guess. That's why my radio name is Kenneth John, because if I use my real name, it would be a little harder also. These Eastern European names are not the easiest to pronounce.
Well, there's a lot of people that have said, you know, is Illinois ready for another governor with a difficult to pronounce last name? And I just always point out that another guy, his problem was that he wasn't any Irish. I'm a 16th.
Oh, you're a 16th Irish, well, therefore you're a professional politician, I should say. So what you're suggesting is we jump from the wrong party to the stupid party. No offense.
No, hey, none taken. For the last year and a half, I spearheaded a nonpartisan organization that I founded, I funded, and I believed in the mission, and that was to bring good government to Illinois, because I didn't see much pushback from my Republican Party on the bad public policy coming out of the Democrats in Springfield. And until I could get my hands around the lay of the land of the Republican Party in the land of Lincoln and Lincoln's party, I decided to take a different path until I could figure that out. I am running as a Republican because I believe it's the best chance to reform Illinois. But make no mistake, before we can reform Illinois, I need to reform the Republican Party.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Where do we start? Well, let's go back to the reforming of the Republican Party and go, well, how do you define good government and what kind of reforms are you talking about?
Well, the motto of my campaign is every dime online in real time, because I believe that good government is transparent government. I believe that here in Illinois we've tried to legislate ethics and it hasn't gotten us very far. So just as the values that we share of we the people, it's about time that we eliminate the walls and hurdles and the access of information to people, to the press, to competitive businesses, throw open the windows on this government, shed the sunlight in, put every single piece of financial information of Illinois state government online. Could be done. It could be done in relatively short order, and I believe that's a way to end this political culture of corruption is to bring transparency in public spending to Springfield.
So I guess the theory is that if there is transparency, if people see how their money is actually being wasted and stolen, then they'll actually react and become good citizens. And
I think it is the only hope that we have left in Illinois. the Republicans, the Democrats, the results of their efforts over the last couple decades, that's self-evident. I've always believed that the people are good, that there's pent-up goodwill from around the entire state, that people of goodwill are the majority, and it's time to put the people back in power.
I think individuals probably have a tendency towards good. I'm afraid that when they become a collective, they generally become collectively bad. I'm just thinking out loud in my anarchist moments here. Not that I'm an anarchist, but when you say you think that basically the people are good, yeah, I think as individuals, and I think what we need to do is emphasize individual freedom and self-responsibility, and I think accountability and transparency is all to the good. But unless we have a philosophy of individualism in this state, I think we're doomed.
I agree. I think individualism, like I said, it's the only hope we have, that people in and of themselves take it on as their responsibility to and as the opportunity that we have. Springfield's the problem. It's our opportunity to correct it.
So you think the Republican Party's reformable? You don't think it's time just to get a viable new third party going? You'd rather reform. How do you reform the Republican Party?
Well, I go back as my family goes back 30 years in terms of government reform. 30 years ago, my dad ran against George Ryan. My dad ran as a conservative Democrat in Kankakee County for state representative in 1976 and 1978 versus Ryan. And sadly, at that time, 30 years ago, the people weren't ready to reform politics in Kankakee County. Ryan beat my father. I think we have a limited window here in 2010. But the people get it. Those wiretaps on Blagojevich, they gave us insight into how all this runs. It runs this way probably at the top of both parties. So I think the people have had it. I keynoted that Will County Tea Party, and there were 600 people there, and they all saw the world the same way, and they know that they need to go home and start influencing their own backyards. It's hard to get our hands around Springfield. Nearly impossible to get our hands around Washington, D.C. But where we can influence is with our own circles, with our own neighborhoods, our own subdivisions, our own circle of friends, and we need to start there. We can't change Springfield unless we change our own backyards.
I'm going to assume that Joe Burkett, who's the state's attorney for DuPage County, is going to run for governor in the primary against you. And the Republicans have their own ways of nasty politics. Maybe graft is included, but Joe Burkett is the type who just will trump up drug charges on people to get a victory just to prop up his image as a crime fighter to get elected.
Whether it's Joe Burkett, Bob Schillerstrom, there was an article in the Daily Herald that the DuPage County Board Chairman, he's been there 11 years, that he's going to run for governor. Any of these guys, they all represent the Illinois establishment, the Illinois political class. They've all been in office while Illinois has gone from a fairly decent state 10 years ago to a state that's actually spiraled into decline on nearly every major issue that you study. They've got a difficult case to make. I'm confident in my case. And I'm taking it to the people.
That's the thing, though. They are the Republican establishment, and to beat the establishment is really, really tough. I mean, for one thing, they have control of the election process. Mm-hmm. The establishment has all their judges in there, and they'll have their own poll watchers, too, I'm sure. And when you're fighting an insurgency campaign, you better be prepared to have poll watchers in every precinct. Are you going to be able to develop that kind of organization to fight
the
establishment?
I'll give you my background. Mm-hmm. In 1997, my brother and I, from our apartments, we took on one of the most profitable business monopolies in American business history. We went right up against the big phone books, the big yellow pages, the 45-town, 60-town telephone books. They were overcharging, and they were under-delivering. And so we took on that monopoly, and we grew. We were the first two employees. Over a 9-year period, we grew it to over 150 employees. We We grew it from $0 of annual sales to over $20 million of annual sales. And in 100 markets in 3 states, at the end of 9 years, we had greater market share in every single one of those markets than the big guys did. So I don't have 9 months to build this out, but I am building out 102 counties from a campaign county chairman all the way down to boots on the ground at the committeeman level. Our people in place to our own infrastructure, our own structure to compete. And that's going really well.
Well, that sounds pretty impressive, I have to say, Adam. And, you know, I offer you the best of luck on that. I think you need, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, that again, transparency and accountability they're wonderful terms. But it seems to me, in order to really make a shift in the way people think, in the way people perceive, in the way they get out to vote, you really probably need a philosophical paradigm shift to occur at the same time. And
Go ahead. As you know, and as you've seen, and we've all witnessed over the course of the last couple of days here, that paradigm shift's underway. The confluence of that and my robust set of policies, I think, are going to carry the day for me in the primary. Now, I feel that I am the only electable Republican come November of 2010 versus the Democrat. Everybody else on my side of the aisle, they walk through that door with political baggage, and I don't. And this is a good government election in this cycle for 2010.
It good government, but I think the shift, if as I perceive it, is more fundamental than good government, and it is a libertarian type philosophical shift towards the rights of the individual.
And, well, I see it as two competing philosophies. It's the philosophy that's in power. That wants to move us radically to the left and towards socialism, and it's the philosophy that we share of empowering people to solve their own problems. I think it is an American, deeply ingrained in America, that given the choice, people don't want Big Brother helping them make decisions. They want to make their own decisions. That's an American, that's part of the American spirit. I think that's deeply ingrained in our culture.
Does that include self-medication? Does that include some kind of drug legalization? If you really believe that that individuals should be in charge of their own lives, and it seems to me the state is spending more and more millions of dollars to build more and more jails just to house marijuana users for one use
okay,
or another.
Let's take it back to the paradigm shift, though, socialism versus in government solving your problems.
I would say it's a socialist fascist alike.
Where I fall on this is I believe that people should be persuaded to make good choices rather than coerced to make good choices when and where we can.
Okay.
And I think the paradigm shift, basically, you could characterize it as socialism versus individualism.
I would say, let me interject. When you keep on saying socialism, I would suggest we live in more of a fascist than socialist. Mm-hmm. You might say it's a socialist fascist system, in my viewpoint, because you have corporations in bed with government at the same time. So it's just from my viewpoint, it's not just socialist.
Where I would like, and as governor, I would persuade people more than I would coerce people. Mm-hmm. We've had enough coercion. We need a lot more persuasion.
Sounds good to me. We're speaking with Adam Andrzejewski, who
that's
is
good. That's actually pretty good. Andrzejewski.
And you are running for governor as a non-establishment candidate, as a Republican, hopefully reforming the Republican Party in the process. If you'd like to talk to Adam, phone number here is 847-931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, perspectives, give us a call. That's 847-931-1410, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Adam Jeffsky and Adam Jeffsky. I'll never get this right.
It's good marketing, guys. It's good marketing.
You keep on repeating that name till it becomes household, right?
I was given advice the other day that I should change my last name to the same as my first name, because then if you said my complete name, it would be double marketing. But I thought it was good advice, but I'm just not going to change the name.
or you might just change it to Ryan. I mean. Every rotten politician I could ever think of, I think it's just about to have that name. But we do have Mark on the line. But before we get to Mark, I'd like to really, and you might think I'm being a little more tougher than you would have expected, Adam, because I think we're riding on the same.
I'm the transparency candidate. You can ask me.
There you go. There you go.
And I'll answer it.
We're riding on the same philosophical rail for the most part. I want to just give you a little more perspective. Back in my younger days, back in the late 70s, I first discovered the new way of looking at political spectrums, that if you believed in individual rights and economic rights, that it used to be, you know, the Democrats took the individual rights, the Republicans supposedly espoused the economic rights, and I saw that, you know, there was a fusion there with a libertarian viewpoint in a two-dimensional philosophical framework. And it was a revelation when I first saw that. And I really thought that paradigm shift, if it ever happened, if people thought in those terms, would be insurmountable to big government. And I guess my offer of suggestion to you, and you can take it or leave it, is that if we're going to have a true paradigm shift, one way for you to get votes in that primary is to take some from the Democrats.
Absolutely.
And I think if you do start to show some compassion for individual rights and compassion for alternative lifestyles and compassion for things like self-medication, I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. But maybe it's time to try something like that. And besides, from my perspective, being morally right, I think it might be a utilitarian move on your part. So you could just take that, and you don't have to comment on it. Just think about that. Let's go to the phones. We have Mark. Hey, Mark.
How are you guys doing today, Ken?
Great.
I just wanted to ask the gentleman running for governor, what will you do as governor to solve this financial problem we have in Illinois, which has been going on not just for a couple of months or years, it's been going on for probably decades, and now it's all just coming to head, its ugly head's coming. And if I think one of the main problems will be is to solve the illegal problem too. I just want to see what you would do on solving the financial problem, and I think one of the main reasons is the illegal problem. And I'll let you answer the question. I'll hang up. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great question. I'll just walk you through the first three or four things that I would do as governor. On the very first day that I would take the oath of office, 1 minute after midnight, I would take the oath of office. I would step off that platform. I would sign every dime online in real time as much as I could by executive order to open up the books of state government. The next thing I would do is I would call a special session of the General Assembly, and I would call them on ethics legislation, and specifically the piece of policy where every single elected official in Illinois would have to disclose their sources of income. And once that's through the General Assembly, I sign that bill, you'll have mass resignations off agencies, boards, commissions because of conflicts. So then you start to replace those people with people that serve in the true spirit of public service here in Illinois. So you get good people into those positions. The next thing that I would do is on the open books of Illinois, I would descend teams of forensic accountants. When you do a forensic autopsy, that's the procedure that you do when somebody passes away and you want to know the cause of death. And I think it's a good analogy for the fiscal crisis that Illinois faces. The governor of Kansas did this. They saved, in the small state of Kansas, $1 billion by a forensic accounting program, and they saved it in very short order. So these are the things that need to be done here in Illinois. Those are the first three things that I would do to get my hands around this. I believe that with every dime online in real time, if we can see where the monies are being spent, we can cut that wasteful spending without raising taxes. I want to give you a statistic. I think that backs up my program here. Since 1998, Illinois as a population has grown by 4%, but our Illinois state budget has grown by 48%. So when Governor Quinn tells you that there is no place to cut, and he introduces a budget that is actually larger than last year's budget under Blagojevich, and then wants to raise your taxes by 50%, what is our good government, what is our governor that has a reputation of being a good government governor, what's he thinking, to paraphrase Blagojevich's ad against the Pinka?
Mark, you still there?
No, well, Mark hangs up. He listens.
All right, well, I think your reforms are wonderful, Adam, but they're all procedural. They're all means to an end. They're not the end. I think some of us are waiting for here some ends, some systemic. We have systemic problems. We have pension systems that are out of control. I've heard one suggestion that maybe the taxpayers, in essence, should declare bankruptcy for government. That we really can't meet.
I think these problems can be solved without declaring bankruptcy as a state. For instance, we don't even know what the true numbers of this government are, and this is what I want to talk about.
You really
examples.
Think waste, fraud, and abuse is such that we can? Even if we balance the budget today, to me, the taxes are still way too high. The government
agree,
is way too much.
But Kenneth, you're never going to have tax cuts unless you have spending cuts, and here in Illinois,
right.
There's never a conversation about spending cuts.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
I
want
to
hear a systemic.
So I submit to you that you're only going to get spending cuts if you get 100% financial transparency. And if we can see where the dollars are being spent, we can convince our neighbors that it's wasteful spending and we can bring the spending cuts. And that's also where forensic accounting is so important. But I want to talk about the systemic nature of this government. It's so opaque that the auditor of the state of Illinois can't even tell you how many programs are in Illinois state government. The state legislature and the comptroller's office, they differ by nearly 100 on the number of checkbooks that they think that the state writes checks out of. If they don't know the programs, they don't even know the number and can't even give you a firm count and differ by such a large number on the number of checkbooks, it just stands to reason that it's a mess. Now, I saw a Chicago Tribune article just last week. Finally, in the city of New Orleans, there's an auditor. And what the auditor discovered in a city in Louisiana, that there's 140 off-the-books agencies that have never been audited in the city of New Orleans. In a $55 billion state budget, where the auditor doesn't know the number of programs, we don't even know the number of checkbooks, can you imagine the mess that exists in the off-the-books transactions? That's the systemic problem that you're talking about. And every dime online in real time will create more change and go after that issue than any piece of public policy in the last 50 years.
Do you think waste, fraud, and abuse, you think you're going to be able to get, like, I could see you getting like a 10% spending reduction, maybe.
Well, that would be huge. That would balance the budget.
And you're right. And as the first year, as a first year governor, I think that would be a laudable goal. But again, what I'm looking for is
people think that's impossible. I mean, that would be. I mean, that's what Illinois needs. We need a balanced budget. It is constitutional. We need to stop deficit spending.
Absolutely. And as I said, as a first year governor, as governor first year, I think that would be a laudable goal. And I think achievable, possibly achievable, although you're running up against such entrenched interests. I think there are going to be a lot of roadblocks that they're going to throw at you, including lawsuits.
Well, that's why I'm running on issues, and this is why. At the first two calls when you put together a campaign, I've been told, are to the political consultant and to the fundraiser. I've done things, as you said, up front. I'm non-establishment, and I've done things asymmetrically. Because I think those first two calls that everyone else makes, that's part of the problem. I've done something different. I've led with policy, 15,000 words on corruption, budget, healthcare, education, property taxes, job growth, on the issues that we've been failing on for a generation. So if I am elected, and I believe that I will win the nomination, and I will beat the Democrat in November, and then I have a mandate from the people of Illinois to deal with the rascals of the General Assembly. And make no mistake, I'll hold their feet to the fire, and I'll get these things done.
How about, are you familiar with these 10th Amendment sovereignty resolutions that are being passed by various, I don't know, it was like 10, at least 10 states, might be a lot more by now, that are proclaiming the state, you know, via the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it's the states and the people who have the power, not the federal government, and that these resolutions, which hopefully eventually might become acts, direct the federal government to stay within its constitutional bounds and stay out of our lives, so to speak. Would you be supportive of such a resolution or act?
I saw what Governor Rick Perry in Texas, he just signed
right.
it, and I think we're up to 17 or 18 states
yep.
from around the country that
mm-hmm.
have signed it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not read it, and I would be amenable to looking into it, and this is why. As I screwed down in the Illinois budget, and we've read it twice, and it's 467 pages long, what you realize is 50% of the money in our Illinois state budget comes with strings from Washington, D.C. And I just think that that is not the dynamic that was set up at the founding of the country. And so I believe that that we need to take a look at this, and I'm amenable to looking into the sovereignty issue.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Kathleen. Hey, Kathleen.
Yeah, good morning, Ken. I was wondering if your guest realized that Jack Franks was grooming himself for the same governor's mansion, and a couple of comments about Jack Franks, who was always the most libertarian-leaning Democratic out here, who for, I don't know, 8 years told me he was going to fight for ballot access and medical marijuana, who suddenly, when it came to the medical marijuana vote, is suddenly going, no comment, no comment. And one other question I wanted to ask your guest was, what is his opinion on the book issue that Jack Franks is trying to block his, you know, his book publication because he does not want him to profit from his evil.
Blagojevich's book.
Yeah, Blagojevich. But at the same time, Blagojevich wants to list every Illinois rotten politician. So I'm kind of curious about the book now. I want to kind of see them all fall like dominoes. But I do kind of agree with Jack Franks that he should not profit from his evil. So I'd like to hear what your guest considers on that opinion.
Well, you know, I think Jack Franks is an Illinois politician, first and foremost. So I've heard rumors that he wants to run for higher office. You know, he's going to have to make his own case within his own party. In terms of Blagojevich's book and the profiting of it on that, Blagojevich has been indicted. You know, he's awaiting trial. I think Illinois has so many problems to deal with that Frank should be spending his time on things that, as we've talked about earlier, that have not been tackled for a generation and leave some of these minor issues alone. I don't think it's a big issue that Blagojevich could make some money on this book. If people will buy it, I think it could be very interesting. And let's face it, the profit motive helps people work harder to put together a good story and to get the word out. And to the extent that Blagojevich blows the cover on the Illinois political establishment, I'm all for it.
All right, sounds great, Kathleen. Thanks for your call. Real quick, only because it's Pete, we're going to allow him on.
Yes, just thank you very much. I just wanted to ask your guest. Most of the voters in the Republican primary in Illinois are social and cultural conservatives. How do you expect to appeal to them?
Well,
or do you expect that your opposition would just be divided on those issues?
My opposition would be divided? I guess what's the question? How do I appeal to the social conservatives?
Yes, yes, that's basically it.
Yeah, well, I've got certain... everything's up on my website. Like I said earlier, I'm the transparency candidate, so I'm pro-life. I'm not in favor of moving the definition of marriage, and I'm pro-Second Amendment. I grew up in a downstate in Kankakee County. I grew up with firearms. I grew up fishing. I also lived in Chicago for 10 years. So I understand the right of self-defense. After 6,000 years of traditional marriage, I'm not in favor of moving the line unless it's brought forward. I just don't think that the courts or the legislature should do it. If there was any change in the definition, it should be brought forward by referendum from people. When and where that's been done in the 30 states, it's always been voted down.
In which we can't do that in Illinois anyway. Oh, I have to break it. Pete, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back. Adam, if people want to help your campaign, how can they do it?
Internet address, adam4illinois.com. We've got a please donate button on there. And any amount, $10, $20, $50, $100, it's much appreciated. I'm up against, obviously, I'm the non-establishment candidate up against the established financial interest in the state. And so I do need help from all the regular people that tie into what we're trying to do here.
All right, very good. Thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you, guys. I've really enjoyed it.
All right, quotation of the week from Thomas Paine. Those who want to reap the benefits of this great nation must bear the fatigue of supporting it.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
This is the home of the most amazing show on the radio, The Radio Shopping Show.